Now we'll roll up our sleeves and get back into God's Word in the middle of chapter 3 of the first epistle of St. John. We'll begin with verse 11. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And so this section begins with John contrasting what real love is with what the absence of love brings. And we get no starker reminder of the difference than we do in the first murder, where Cain slaughtered the next born of Adam and Eve, his brother in the flesh, who should have been his brother also in the spirit, but were able, out of love for God, offered a sacrifice pleasing to him. Cain found his sacrifice rejected by God, and instead of seeking to be right with God, decided to eliminate his brother so God would eliminate the comparison. John doesn't bring it up in detail here, but that comparison, that judging, is part of what the world does. Judge not, lest you be judged. The standard that the Lord places down on us. If you can handle being judged according to the standards you use for judgment, fine, go ahead. But if it's selfish, if it's designed to promote yourself above others, God will promote himself above you and tell you that he does not love you because you did not love. You resented who or what somebody was. You took advantage of them. You ignored them. You actively hated them. John tells us that we know we have life because we love the brothers. We know that God is living in us because we would give up ourselves, our possessions, our time, even perhaps our lives, to benefit our brothers and sisters in the faith. And hatred, resentment, jealousy, and all of its accompanying factors make us murderers. But there is a death that is beneficial. Not the death of Abel at Cain's hand. Although by comparison he was innocent, he was still born sinful and unclean. But by the death of the one truly holy person. By this we know love, that he, that is Christ, laid his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Of course, there are times in our lives when the deed is mainly our talk, because that's all that we have left to do. If our bodies are too weak to actively aid our neighbor by picking up, by moving, by placing, by handling, we still have kind words. We can still pray. And we can still offer the time that God gives us here to listen to our brothers in need, to care for our sisters, who more than anything else just need to talk with us. And probably then also to talk with God. When we look at how we haven't done that, how we haven't always loved, cared for, and been concerned with our neighbor, we know that we have forgiveness. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So John says, not only is it that we have love for one another, but that we know that God forgives us all of our sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that we can stand before God with a clean conscience. That we don't have to hide, that we don't have to worry, dread, or fear the coming of our Savior in wrath and judgment on the last day, but rather we know that he will judge us not guilty and invite us to live with him forevermore. We know we are God's when the love of Christ Jesus lives in us and wells up out of us, so that that love then touches the lives of the people around us. And if it's not doing that, John says, you need to check what the problem is. God is greater than our heart. And if our heart does condemn us, God will forgive that sin. God will strengthen us. God will create in us a new heart so that the love can continue to flow. If we see we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have a problem. But we also have the solution to the problem ready at hand. God is more eager to forgive than we are to ask for that forgiveness. God has already promised us the salvation and is already delivering it, even as we are only beginning to confess our sins. God knows us so well that he can forgive the secret sins that we don't even know that we've committed. Or we don't know that we have sinned against him or against people. And then John continues, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John speaks here as an apostle. He says, I'm telling the truth, and behind that is the truth that he knew Jesus, that he had been with Jesus throughout his entire earthly ministry, that he had witnessed his miracles from beginning to end. He was one of the three who saw the transfiguration. And whenever Jesus at other times singled out a few of the disciples to come with him, it was always Simon Peter and the brothers, James and John, who got the first call. So he knows whereof he speaks. He knows how his own heart was tested. He wasn't innocent even at the time of Jesus, for although he did stick around, stand at the foot of the cross, was there when Jesus committed his mother's care into John's hands, he too fled from the garden in fear. He didn't stick around to see what would happen. It was only a little later that he could gather his courage and slip back up closer to find out what was going to happen to the one he loved so much. His own life had been tested. He had been found wanting. He knew what it was like to be tempted and tested, and he knew what it was like to fail when he tried to rely on his own strength. And in the years since then, he knew what it was like to go out into the world and have some gladly accept the gospel of forgiveness. That God had taken on human flesh. That God had suffered and died in the body of Jesus Christ and had risen on the third day. And already at his time, people were going out and twisting the message of Jesus, saying that he was not really a man, but only God who had taken on the form of a man. Others would say that he was not really God, but just a very holy man who the Spirit of God had entered into. But John is telling us, whenever anybody is talking about Jesus, test that Spirit. Test whether the truth is there by what God's Word says. By what we know to be true about Jesus from that Word. Why is the Christian church smaller than other world religions, particularly Islam? Why are there more people outside of church than inside of it every Sunday morning, even in lands that are allegedly Christian? It's because the false teachers have a message that the world wants to hear. We don't like to hear blood, sin, death, suffering, trials, crosses, do we? Nobody wants April 15th. But everybody wants care from the government in their old age, in their infirmity. Nobody wanted to sit down and write a check to Uncle Sam to make up whatever those taxes were, but everyone was happy when the government said, we'll help you with your prescriptions. Nobody likes to see those deductions come out of their checks, but everybody likes someone to come and take care of them when they have a need. Whether it be an ambulance showing up, whether it be education for children and young people, whether it be roads that are paved and potholes that are filled, whether it be a defense that holds our enemies at bay. But we never like to pay for those things. We don't like to think about the payment for our own sins. We don't like to think that we are the guilty one and that it was our sin that led God to send Jesus to suffer and die. We want to think of ourselves as the good people, the nice people. But God has overcome that, at least in part, in each one of us. He has made us his children. And when we start getting cocky and too big for our britches, he reminds us that we would not be with him if he had not chosen us, and if he had not sent Jesus to die for us, and if he had not created faith in that Jesus. But the world wants to hear the, I'm okay, you're okay. The world wants to hear preachers who preach never using the word sin, iniquity, wickedness, evil. Robert Schuller, he of the Crystal Cathedral, brags that it's been years and years since he ever referred to sin in one of his sermons. And yet he is considered a Christian. There are prosperity speakers of one sort or another who tell the world that if you believe hard enough, the Lord will bless you beyond realization. Does that mean that everyone here in a wheelchair is not a strong enough believer? That everyone here who needs eyeglasses or hearing aids, who has to have store-bought teeth because the teeth God gave you are gone, is less of a Christian? Is less loved by God? The world likes to hear those things that say, you're pretty darn good, and if you work hard, you can have everything you want, everything you need, and more. And the world doesn't like to hear that nothing good comes to us except by God. The world has ears that itch and like being told that it's lovable enough of its own. And John says, nope. If you're listening to God, you're listening to the people God sends, to the apostles and the evangelists, to the true pastors and teachers of the church who preach both sin and grace, law and gospel, hell as well as heaven, death as well as life. And remind the church that even though we are forgiven and even though we are freed in this life, yet Jesus invites us, compels us to take up our cross and follow him. Let the world hate us. and accept it as a badge of honor. Let our bodies become weak as long as our faith remains strong, that we may testify not to our own strength, but to the strength of God in Christ Jesus that empowers us to live through our trials, knowing that the only death that we need to fear is the death we have already undergone. Because in baptism, hell was drowned. The fire is put out. And we who continue to believe need not fear mere physical death, because that will soon be reversed when our Lord calls us from our graves. So test the spirits. If they're saying anything less than what Jesus spoke of himself and what his apostles told of him, then it is not truth. It is not light. It is not life. It is an antichrist, having the form of Christianity, but denying the substance. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And there we have it, the content of the Christian faith and the center of the Christian life, both revealed in love. The love of God in Christ Jesus, with arms extended on the cross, inviting sinners to come to him. The love of God in Christ Jesus that was poured over us in baptism, that is fed to us in the supper, that is preached and taught to us, that we hear in the words of the absolution. That is the content of the Christian faith. And the content and the center of the Christian life is that love in action in us. Care, concern, genuine love for other people. Hatred, fear, resentment, all banished. Because the love of God in Christ Jesus is the only love that this world needs, and it's the only love that truly counts. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. God grant that that love be and remain in each and every one of you, that whether it's through prayer, through words, or through deeds, that love might shine forth, and that others might see that you are a Christian by your care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And most of all, may he keep you firm in faith, that beyond everything else, you know that the love of God in Christ Jesus has and continues to forgive every one of your sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.